this evening ponder upon Calvary and the love there and the pain there and the victory over sin that was accomplished there. Let us each be impressed that, as the passage that Seth read for us says, we express our faith in Calvary and our love for God by walking according to His commandments. See, the commandments of the Bible are not mine or yours, it's not the Church of Christ, it's God's. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this passage that Seth read for us, in fact, you go back to verse 4, and John wrote, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandments from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. You see, let us forever eliminate the notion that obeying God is unloving, uncaring, unthoughtful. That love instead is some ooey-gooey, mushy feeling that I've got to experience, and if I don't have that experience, then I don't have love shown to me, nor am I showing it. Jesus loved you on the cross. Now, He calls upon you and me to love Him and to be in fellowship with Him. That's our study tonight. To be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ in our faith and in our life. When do we have fellowship? What is it? When do we have it? And how do we have fellowship? We must be frank and open with this subject tonight. And you know, and I do too, it's not the first time we preached on this. It won't be the last. Because it is a pertinent, prevalent topic and needs to be discussed. And we need to be thoroughly equipped with God's Word concerning it. There is, even now among churches of Christ, some churches of Christ, brethren are expanding their concept of fellowship and have already laid aside many of the things that we're going to be discussing tonight. There is more and more an open fellowship approach among some brethren toward a more unrestrained, uncorrected fellowship of believers. And you might say, well, that will never happen among churches of Christ. I suspect the Presbyterians said that a couple hundred years ago. If you've read our article on the last page of the bulletin, you know now they have fellowship in some with preachers who are practicing homosexuality or willing to have fellowship and fornication. You suppose they ever said, we'll never have that kind of fellowship. But they do now. You see, we need to be equipped with what God's Word is, because even now, among some Christians, the Bible concept of fellowship is being undermined. It's being undermined and compromised, and the integrity of the church is being compromised as well. And we either open our eyes and examine ourselves, or we become part of the problem and part of those who are not in fellowship with God. Because you see, this is the primary point. Am I in fellowship with God right now? Am I sharing with God, or am I out of fellowship with Him? God knows, and if we're being honest with ourselves, then with God's Word we can know, and we can correct it. The gospel invitation is to repent. The gospel invitation is to believe and repent and confess and be baptized and then to walk in newness of life. But you see, unfortunately, now some who have begun that journey have developed the concept that a fellowship that undermines that discipline of gospel living. Sometimes it's out of a yearning for unity and peace. And we talked about unity this morning versus the sin of division. Sometimes it's our great yearning to be at peace and to have unity that we give lip service to 2 John 9-11, but we oppose its application. See, the passage says, whoever transgresses, that is, goes beyond and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. Do we believe the Bible is the Word of God? If so, we must believe what the Word of God says about who does not have God, as well as who does have God. Because he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son.
We have a statement both of who has the Father and the Son, who is in fellowship with the Father and the Son, and who is not. Based upon whether or not we abide in the teaching of Christ. Now that is very different than an open fellowship of letting custom and tradition and what we want decide what is right and what we will accept. The Bible is the basis for our fellowship and our unity. This is ground we covered this morning. As
the prayer of the Son was that we would all be one. By believing on the word of the apostles in the Christ, we have the ability to be one and have fellowship with Him and the Father and the Holy Spirit, and to have fellowship with one another. I want you to think about this from this standpoint as we begin this discussion and study. God does not have fellowship with everyone who says they are in fellowship with Him. Have you thought of it that way? God does not have open fellowship. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many mighty works?" They call upon the name of Jesus. But Jesus says, "I'll say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness." You see, it's not hard to see the point. God doesn't have fellowship with everyone who says they're in fellowship with Him. 1 John 2:18-19, the Apostle John develops that concept when he says, "Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour." Now note, please, with me, John wrote this about 2,000 years ago, and he said it was the last hour then. You see, there was a time of trial then. You see, those who were against Christ existed then. Seth read it for us in 2 John a moment ago, verse 7. "Many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh." This is a deceiver and an antichrist, against Christ, a deceiver, a false doctrine that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. Now look at verse 19 of these who were against Christ. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." You see, God did not have fellowship with them. They went out from those who were in fellowship with God in their error, being against Christ. Therefore, why should we conclude that we may have fellowship with any Christian regardless of their lifestyle and their doctrines? 1 Corinthians 5:1-2, this was a serious problem in the church of Corinth. As mentioned briefly this morning, but really not specifically, Paul wrote, "It's actually reported that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not even named among the Gentiles, and a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he has done this deed might be taken away from you." Here's a man living in sin. They all knew about it and continued in fellowship. And were puffed up, and somehow or another they could continue in fellowship with the sinner. When God says whoever transgresses and goes beyond the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Question: is fornication beyond the doctrine of Christ? It is, isn't it? Whoever goes beyond the doctrine of Christ does not have God. That person wasn't in fellowship with God. And so needed to be disciplined, corrected, so that and put away, so that he might return in repentance to the Lord, which he did, 2 Corinthians 2, when they, as church, applied the right discipline. But you
You see, here's the point. God doesn't fellowship everyone. Why do you think it's right for us to? And you say, why don't? Well,
okay. But are we willing
to really apply 2 John 9 or not?
That's what we want to discuss tonight. We've got to begin here. And that is that fellowship with others
is based on or the result of our mutual fellowship with God. We have to first be in fellowship with God.
Or our fellowship together means nothing spiritually. It's of no benefit unless we are first both in fellowship with God. Now, some say, well, that would be too outrageous for us to even begin to assess if somebody else is in fellowship with God or not. Well, of course, that's not true. 2 John 9 makes it very clear in verses 10 and 11 says you're expected to. Whoever comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, receive him not into your house, nor give him greeting. You're going to have to determine whether or not someone is bringing the gospel of Christ in their teaching and in their living. And then act based upon that assessment. So you see, we do have to assess whether somebody's walking with God, is in fellowship with God. And the fellowship that we enjoy together
is the result of first us both being in fellowship with God.
Let's look at 1 John 1 for a moment. Beginning of verses 3 and 4, and I grant we're starting in the middle of a sentence here. It really begins in verse 1. That the apostle is presenting his eyewitness testimony, and he and the apostles, they heard the Christ, saw the Christ, handled him, and have declared to you the eternal life that's with the Father and was manifested to us. Verse 2. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Look, the apostolic writing is the basis upon which we can have full joy and have confident fellowship, not only with those who wrote this, but with the God whom they shared fellowship with. Look, you want to have fellowship with God in your life? You make that choice, you make that decision by whether to follow the writings of the apostles. Because they were in fellowship with Jesus. They were in fellowship with the Father. He says, we're writing this to you, declaring it to you, so that you can have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with God. So, clearly, he doesn't say, well, just join us, as opposed to join somebody else. He says, accept what we're teaching you that contains eternal life, so you can have fellowship with God. That's where joy is made full. Fellowship with God. Now, what is, as John develops his thought here, go to verse 5, he says, this is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you. Now, he's already, that's the third time he talked about declaring something. Verse 2, we declare to you. Verse 3, we declare to you. And again, verse 5, we declare to you. Are you listening? You have your Bible out? Are you listening? You have your Bible out? Might not be listening like we need to. Let's get our Bible out. Let's listen to God. And he says, we wrote it down, and we declared it to you. What did we declare? That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. He's talking about our fellowship with God. He's saying that our fellowship with God depends upon us walking in the light. Now we'll define that in his context here in just a moment as we read it. I want to share and connect with that John 14:23. Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our home with him. We'll live with him. Who? The one who loves me and keeps my word. That's who God will remain with, whose Father and Son will abide with, one who loves Him, keeps His Word. All right? That's why I said, do you have your Bible? Are you depending on the Word that they wrote? Verse 4.
Because that's the declaration that's going to bring us to the light and bring us to have God live with us. with what John said. We must walk in the light
and have fellowship with God. That's what he says in verse 7. If we walk in the light. Walking is a course of conduct.
It's a way of life.
Okay? It's practicing the truth. Verse 6. You see that? If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we practice what is darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So walking in darkness is not practicing truth. Walking in the light is practicing truth. That's just
simple deduction there. Based on what he said. Practice truth, walk in the light. Don't practice truth, don't walk in the light.
What's the truth? It's declared by the apostles. It's the message that they heard from Him and declared to us. Verse 4, verse 5, 3, 4, and 5. See? It's the apostolic
doctrine. Doctrine of the apostles, the New Testament of Jesus Christ. So we have to walk in the light, and he says, to have fellowship with God. Who he's talking about in verse 7 is,
when he says one with another, he's not talking about me and you. He's talking about you and God. You and God. You see, because that's already set up in verse 6. You don't have fellowship with God if you walk in darkness. But if you practice truth, walking in the light, you have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses you from your sin. You see that? So verse 7 is not you and me fellowship. It's you and God fellowship. See that? Now, when there's you and God fellowship, and me and God fellowship, guess what? You and me are in fellowship. Then we can share together.
So we're sharing in God. See that? The person, though, who is not practicing the truth is not having fellowship with God.
And that, of course, becomes the problem, isn't it? When a person says they're having fellowship with God, but they're not practicing truth,
they're lying. Lying to themselves, lying to others, lying before God.
Verse 6. Okay, so if we want fellowship with God and be assured of it, then we must practice the truth rather than walk in darkness.
And note, please, before I go on. See, the blessing is the blood of Jesus cleanses from our sin. That's why we want fellowship with God. The blood of the Son cleanses you from your sin. Because your sin, the wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we have to love Him and keep His Word. John 14, 23. Now,
let's go to John 10, 27 and 28 and see that knowing God is equivalent to having fellowship with God. A lot of people say, oh, I know God. I know God. And the question is, how do you know God? How do you know God? Remember, if you're not walking in the light,
you don't have fellowship with Him. And if you say you do, but you're not walking in the light, you're practicing error, you're lying to yourself.
You're not practicing truth. So, saying I know God doesn't mean I do. John 10, see with me that knowing God amounts to following Him, and the fellowship that comes from that. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands. Okay, so once more, Jesus, speaking of the relationship of He, the Good Shepherd, with the sheep, that's His disciples, that's the saved ones. Again, this is going to depend on following Him, he said in verse 27. Now, with that said, go back to 1 John and go into chapter 2 for a minute. 1 John, now let's look at chapter 2 and verse 3. Now, by this we know that we know Him.
If we keep His commandments. You see, here is my assurance, here is your assurance that we know Him. If we keep His commandments.
Now, he explains. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walks.
Okay, so if we keep His command, we're assured that we know Him, but the disobedient person does not know God, because the truth is not in him, because he is living in disobedience. Verse 4. Therefore, John says, the one who keeps the Word of God loves God and has fellowship with God. He is in Him.
You see, he knows God. Jesus said, if a man follows me, I know him.
And now, John says, if you keep his word, you know him. You know God.
So, fellowship with God, knowing God, depends on keeping his word. And that is tantamount or equivalent to the love that we are to have, the love of God being perfected in us. By this we know that we are in Him.
If we're not practicing truth, then we're not loving God. And when we're not loving God, we're not having fellowship with Him. We're not sharing with Him in the blessings of salvation, are we?
Alright. Now the Bible goes on to say, when we're talking about establishing the fact that we have to be in fellowship with God in order for us to share fellowship together or with others.
We are commanded not to have fellowship with those who are not in fellowship with God.
So just as surely as John said, we want you to have fellowship with us apostles, and we're in fellowship with God. So if you'll follow the Word of God, you'll be in fellowship with Him, and we'll have mutual fellowship. That fellowship of Christ, Philippians 2:1.
But now, conversely, we're under commandment not to have fellowship with those who are not in fellowship with God.
Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, expose them. He's in a context of worldliness, of disobedience, of those who are the sons of disobedience and being in darkness, but now we're children of light.
So have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, 2 Corinthians 6:14 says. We'll come back to that in a little while.
So we're under commandments. Now remember, if we know that we know Him, or we know that we know Him, John said, if we keep His commandments. There's John 2:3. What's one of His commandments? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So what if I go out here and I am in fellowship with darkness? Then I'm not keeping that commandment, am I? And I'm not in fellowship with God, am I? See how serious it becomes? It's
a matter of whether or not I'm in fellowship with God as to what I decide to join in fellowship with here on the earth. Now, I want you to note something else here. A lot of people call fellowship eating meals. Churches all the time say, come and we're going to have a good time of fellowship.
And what they're talking about is the potluck downstairs.
We're going to have fellowship. I challenge anyone. The challenge is out here. Show me where in the Bible, in the New Testament of Jesus Christ, the concept of fellowship is applied to social meals. It's applied to the Lord's Supper, but to a social meal.
See, the Bible says, when Paul says, when I wrote, have no fellowship with, I'm sorry, when he says, chapter 5 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians and verse 9, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with fornicators. I did not at all mean with the fornicators of this world, or covetous, extortioners, idolaters, since you'd have to go out of the world. Now, we're going to have association in this world with sinners. I mean, Jesus ate with sinners, but He wasn't in fellowship with them, by the way. He didn't share with them in things that were against the will of God. The fact that we're to have no fellowship with darkness,
and yet we're in a world where we have a variety of associations with those who are walking in darkness. Sometimes we eat with them even. You see, Bible fellowship is not about social interaction. That's not the definition. Now, in this context, because he was a Christian who would not repent of sin. He said, put that woman away from her. First chapter 5 of Corinthians and verse 13. Put away the wicked man from among yourselves. End that social interaction because they're out of fellowship with God and they won't repent. And you need to try to get them to see that. You see, Bible fellowship is spiritual interaction. It's partnership, sharing together, and agreement.
When the early Christians are mentioned in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So they were sharing together in the work of the gospel and living the gospel, because they were equally in fellowship with God,
having received the word of God that the apostles were preaching. And here's the point we want to build on. The last half of the lesson is our fellowship cannot be more open or more restricted than God's fellowship.
We can't have a more open fellowship than God has and stay in fellowship with Him. Nor can we restrict it tighter than God's, because then we're binding where the Lord is not bound. Okay? But our fellowship is to mirror the fellowship that God has with men and women, as already outlined in 1 John chapters 1 and chapters 2. So, what is fellowship? When does it happen? And how do we have it? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, here's the passage. Jot it down. Remember, here's God teaching us what fellowship is about. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. A yoke ties the animals together so that they go in the same direction and achieve a purpose. You put the two ox together, put the two mules together, I guess. You put the two animals together, but don't unequally yoke. You don't yoke a mule and an ox. They're not equal. They're not balanced. They're not going to pull the same way. You're going to have trouble. Well, now, he goes on to explain by teaching us and using words that connote fellowship. He says, first of all, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? This word means participation or partnership. Where there's fellowship, there's a partaking together. There's a partnership that exists. And he says there is no... Again, each of these questions has an implied none. A negative answer. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? None. What communion has light with darkness? The word communion here is koinonia, a sharing, or a sharing together. So fellowship is a communing, a sharing together between the parties, a sharing in common, a participating together or jointly. What accord does Christ have with Belial, with the worthless one, with the devil? What harmony? What concord?
What togetherness? There's a concept of togetherness in fellowship.
And the word there is indicative of a symphony that produces a harmonious arrangement.
What part has a believer with an unbeliever? The idea of part is having a portion. So you share something together. It's like each having a piece of pie. You each have a pie. You're sharing a portion together. And what agreement has the temple of God divided us? The idea of agreement is that of approval, or to put something together with,
or to make a deposit, really. To put together, or to agree, or to have approval. Now these are the elements of fellowship. A partnership or participation. Of sharing together, so as to have a part together and an agreement that is indicated. Now, God says, I will have all of these with the person who walks in the light.
God will participate with that person. Hear and answer their prayers. Participate in spiritual blessings. Participate in a whole host of that relationship. In fact,
1 John 3 and verse 24,
John would go on to say, 1 John 3:24,
now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him.
By this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he's given us. So God says, I'll have a full relationship with the person who walks in the light, who practices truth. And we'll have accord.
See, there's harmony there. We're in agreement with God when we're keeping His commandments, because they've been written down.
We can know His will, and we can form ourselves to it, so we're having fellowship with Him. And when another is doing the same, then we can have fellowship together. But He said, don't have fellowship with those walking in darkness. So when do we have fellowship? And how do we have fellowship? I want to go through and look at some verses, some passages,
some concepts really, some applications of when we have fellowship.
We have fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Each one are mentioned in these passages, in these various passages. Remember, John wrote, we declare these things to you, that you may have fellowship with us, and yes, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, so we can have fellowship with the Father and the Son. We can share and be in agreement with God. And I'm not making God agree with us. It's about us agreeing with God. You see, that means we make a decision. We choose to walk in the light. He said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what He says to the Christian in 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9. So we have fellowship with God when we will walk in the truth and confess and repent of sin there in that particular text. We're called by the Father through the gospel into fellowship with the Son, 1 Corinthians 1:9. And we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. Now how do we do that? How do we have fellowship? By obeying Jesus. We already read that. He that loves me will keep my word. My Father will love him. We'll come unto him and make our home with him. You have a relationship with God when you commit yourself to a love that does the will of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me,
except the vine abide in the branch, then you'll not be fruitful unless you abide in me. He goes on to that, and I'm just paraphrasing that and not doing a very good job of it at that. In John's 15th chapter, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
So, you have fellowship with God if you obey Jesus. If you obey the Word. That's how you can be assured that you have fellowship with God. It's when you're doing the will of God in your life. That's the relationship God wants to have with you. By the way, the Bible says when we suffer for Christ, suffer for doing Jesus' will, we have fellowship with His sufferings. That's why the song is important that we sang a moment ago. I believe in Mount Calvary. Because you see, if I really believe in Mount Calvary, I will suffer to do the will of Jesus. And by doing that, I share in His suffering. The word is fellowship. Philippians 3:10 and 1 Peter 4:13 talks about that sharing again. We have fellowship in His sufferings. How? Not by just saying, oh, Jesus died for me. No. By ourselves suffering for righteousness' sake. For paying the price to follow Him.
Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
That's how we have fellowship with God. Now let's go on a little further. The Bible says that we can have fellowship when we work simultaneously to preach the gospel.
Doing the gospel work of teaching and preaching, their fellowship. Galatians 2 uses the word. In each of these, it's the word koinonia, the most common word for fellowship. Paul wrote, when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. But we should go to the Gentiles and raid to the circumcised. So you see now, they
say, we're going to be partners. You go to the Gentiles, we'll go to the Jews.
Hey, but we're teaching the same truth.
You see? They had fellowship in the same truth and doing the same work. Paul said it's about teaching the truth of the gospel so that the truth of the gospel would continue.
He said that's the work they were doing, and so they extended the right hand of fellowship.
indicating we're in agreement. We're sharing. We're doing the same work. And so they have a fellowship. Conversely, now watch it. We do not have fellowship, or must not have fellowship, with those who do not teach the sound words of Christ.
See, this is where the rubber meets the road, I guess. Is, you see, it's when somebody is not teaching the truth. And Jesus says, don't receive him, give him no greeting, or he who does partake, has fellowship in his evil work. 2 John 11. It's the same word, fellowship, koinonia. So if someone teaches otherwise, verse 3 of 1 Timothy 6, and does not consent to wholesome words or sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine which accords with godliness, he's proud, knowing nothing. See, he's not fighting against... Well, let me rephrase that. He's fighting against God. See, if he's teaching something that does not accord with, it doesn't consent with the wholesome words of Jesus Christ, the sound words, he's not in fellowship with him, is he? Remember that word accord? What accord does Christ have with the devil? The devil, the liar from the beginning. He's the father of lies, and he teaches falsehood. He teaches error. So, the Bible says, when do we have fellowship? How do we have it? Well, we have it by doing the work of the gospel together. But if someone's teaching error, we're not supposed to endorse it. We work with those who are faithful teachers of the gospel, but do not work with those who teach error. Ephesians 5:11. Don't give our endorsement to that. Don't give our approval to that. You know, I think it's August. There's a citywide Bellingham crusade they're working on now. Louis Palau, I think is his name. Some kind of worldwide evangelist. We got the mailers. Come and join us. Be a part of this effort. Why don't we do that? Why not? Well, they're not going to teach the truth about how to say, for one. They're not in fellowship with God. They teach error. So can we go ahead and be a part of that? No. Oh, you just narrow-minded. No. It's about the Word of Jesus, what Jesus teaches, and what men teach that are in contradiction to it. He said, have no fellowship with those things, or you become a partaker in evil. That's the application of these principles. Don't join up ecumenical councils and crusades, you know, and things like that. Pastoral alliances. Well, how many times through my years I've been asked, come and join us. Be a part of the pastoral alliance. Well, you don't like to associate with other preachers? That's not it at all. It's an association that would be condoning error. We can't do that. The Bible says when we participate in benevolent contributions as fellowship, time's going to fail us to read all these verses, but they're in the bulletin and you can look it up online. You see, Romans 15 uses koinonia, a fellowship of one church, the Gentile churches, helping the needy brethren in the church in Jerusalem. And that was about, they were making a contribution, and it's fellowship, koinonia. So when churches send relief to needy saints, they are having fellowship with those who receive it. They're sharing together in that relief. Individuals distribute, have fellowship. Romans 12 and 13 uses the same word that we are to help one another. When it says, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Distributing is koinonia. Sharing. That's how we do it. Now, so you see, when we give on the first day of the week our contributions, and we use those funds from time to time to help needy saints, we're having fellowship with those who are relieved. That's an application. That's what all this means. We don't send that money to people who are not saints. The Bible gives no authority for that. And we don't set up unscriptural arrangements to accommodate the sending and the receiving, because that's not the pattern of the New Testament either. If we did either of those, we forfeit our fellowship with God. There are churches of Christ that do it.
There are churches of Christ right here in this town that do it. They send benevolent help, relief to those who are not Christians. There is no Bible pattern for churches to do that. They're not obeying the commandment of God, but the will of man. Now, are they in fellowship with God when they do it? No. They're violating the Word of God. But you see, what then if we say, that doesn't really matter, I'm going to go ahead and have association and have fellowship with them and even maybe participate with them in some way. Then I become a partaker in the evil, don't we? And we're taught not to do that. When we financially support a preacher, we have fellowship with him. We have koinonia. We share together. Philippians 1:5, Philippians 4:15. Paul says the church of Philippi had fellowship with him in the matter of giving and receiving. Galatians 6:1-6, it uses the word fellowship, koinonia, communion, sharing together, participating as those who are taught, share with in all good things with the one with the teacher. So once again, it's a matter of participating with the preacher that we choose to support. See? But now, that's why we don't support a preacher who teaches error. Because if we support a preacher who teaches error, we're having fellowship with him in his error. The word fellowship is in play, and we're not to give endorsement to one who doesn't bring the doctrine of Christ. It matters what a fellow teaches. As to whether or not we're going to have fellowship with him, whether we're going to support him, give approval to him, give an endorsement to him. Simply because he stands in the pulpit in the Church of Christ doesn't mean he's in fellowship with God. And if he's not in fellowship with God, it means he's not teaching the Word of God. And if he's not teaching the Word of God, he's out of fellowship with God, and we are not to have fellowship with him. That's not a hard concept. It seems like these days when you preach it and try to apply it, times you're the bad guy. See, you're the bad guy because you won't have fellowship with that fellow. He's a nice guy. Everybody loves him. Good nature, gets along well. But he's not teaching the truth. And Jesus said, if you say you have fellowship with God, I say Jesus said it, his apostles did, upon his authority. You say you have fellowship with the Father, but you don't walk in the light. You're not practicing the truth. You're in darkness. The Bible says our worship and work is fellowship with God and with one another. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. The Lord's Supper is communion. With the blood and body of Jesus, 1 Corinthians 10:16. When you eat the Lord's Supper, you're communing with Jesus. You're sharing with Him, His body and His blood. You are remembering His sacrifice. Remember, Jesus said, I'll eat it with you new in my Father's kingdom. He participates with you when you eat the supper. You're having fellowship with Him when you eat it. Our worship is fellowship with God and a sharing together. You see, as we teach and admonish one another in singing and teaching the Word of God and such, pray together. So, it's important for us as Christians to make an application. How do we apply that? Is God wants us to identify ourselves with and participate in the work of a faithful church. That's our responsibility as Christians, is to have fellowship with faithful brethren in our worship and our service to God, like Paul did in Acts 9 when he joined himself with the apostles or with the brethren in Jerusalem. He tried to. At first they didn't think he was a believer. But Barnabas explained his conversion, what had happened, that he was a faithful Christian, and then he was with him going in. And you know, when we move someplace, it's really easy to fall away. It's really easy to take whatever exists rather than to deliberately fundamentally, because we are walking in the light of truth, saying, I want to and I will be with faithful brethren. It's easy to take something less than. But if we take something less than, what are we taking? We're taking something that is out of fellowship with God. If we take a church that's not doing the will of God, teaching error, practicing error, then we become a part of that, then we're part of the error. Or if we just say, I don't need that at all, then what are we doing? Now we're not walking in the light, because God expects us to be part of the local church. So either way, we forfeit our fellowship with God. This is how we practically apply these things. Fellowship. The Bible talks about sharing our own personal faith through acts of love. Philemon, verses 5 through 7. Philemon was one that Paul commended as sharing his faith as he showed his love to others. And that became a blessing to other people. When you, by your life, show acts of love in your treatment to others, you're sharing your faith. The word is fellowship. 1 John 1, 3 and 4. Fellowship with the apostles. When we believe their word and we obey them, we're having fellowship with the apostles of Jesus Christ. That's an important thing. But you see, if by our conduct we condone, we endorse, we approve of others in their sin, then we're in fellowship with sin.
Paul warned Timothy. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22, he said, do not lay your hands on anyone hastily. That is, don't hastily approve of anyone, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Timothy, you bear a fundamental personal responsibility to keep yourself pure. Now, you will not keep yourself pure, he says, if you lay hands hastily on people. That is, if you give your approval and endorsement to somebody hastily, without full information, without full understanding of are they faithful to the Lord, then you become a partaker. 2 John 10 and 11. Neither share in other people's sins, you see.
Don't have fellowship with the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure. God is vigilant in His fellowship. It's not open or without boundaries. It's well defined. It's defined by the word of truth. Matthew 7, 21 and 23. We must be vigilant of our fellowship together. And it would affect our souls. Not to have any fellowship with sin, with darkness, with the world. Those things destroy us and cause us to lose our souls forever. Have fellowship with God and with the people of God. 1 John 1, 3, 2 John 9. Whoever goes on and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. I haven't gone through a litany of doctrines tonight. What we simply need to know is that's the standard. So we need to test all things. We need to test all the doctrines. And if someone's not in fellowship with God, then don't share with them in it. Don't endorse it. Don't approve it. Rebuke it. Try to get them to repent. Try to teach them the truth. Don't share in their sin. Because in doing so, you forfeit your fellowship with God. That's the most important thing. That's the beginning place. You see, we have to be in fellowship with God first.
And that's going to happen when we keep His Word, keep His commandments. Then we know that we know Him. Then we are assured of His blessing of salvation in the Son. Do you believe in Calvary? Do you believe that Jesus bore your sins, died for you? If so, then you need to be in fellowship with Him. You can be in fellowship with Him, but not by continuing to live in sin. You need to repent of your sin. You need to confess that He is the Lord and the Christ. He is the Son of God. And repent, change your heart about the sin of your life, and be baptized in Christ for the remission of your sins. Live in a new life, newness of life. You make the commitment to practice the truth, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And if in your life as a Christian you've not done that and you faltered by the way, our God is ready to forgive. He said, don't say I don't have any sin, but you've got to do more than just say I have sin. He said, if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us. from all unrighteousness. He's faithful. He'll forgive if we'll be faithful and confess to Him. We urge you to respond to His call. Be saved and be in fellowship with Him. While together we stand and we stand.